Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 156 for the November 2020 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love as often as you can. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. When we hit where DC would fit in the previews catalog, where it's still in the previews catalog, we'll go over to the DC Connect catalog. Likewise, when we hit the Marvel two-page ad for Marvel Previews, we'll jump over to Marvel Previews. Now, obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page or even publisher by publisher. There's just too much stuff. We're just going to hit the highlights. Now, how are those highlights determined? They're determined by people like you sending in clips for the comics they're excited about. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 24 of the previews catalog, and yep, it is the previews catalog. Yeah, I know I do this every month, but really these preview spotlights would be a lot harder to do without something like the previews catalog. Now sure, Marvel's gone and done their own other catalog of Marvel previews. DC's gone to a digital catalog with DC Connect. But still, conceptually, having one place to kind of go find all the new and exciting stuff that's coming out or being resolicited in some cases, I really find that advantageous. It gives me a chance to see what's out there and determine where I want to spend my time and money and what comics I'm going to get. So if you've never checked out previews, I think you should check it out at least once. If you don't want to pay for it, this information is available electronically on the Previews World website. And again, it's a great way to find out what's coming out in the coming months. So once again, that's the previews catalog on page 24 of the previews catalog.
Hi, John. This is Nick Fenner with my first pick of the month from the previews catalog. And this is from page 30 of the main catalog. Ha ha, number one, by writer W. Maxwell Prince. And this particular issue drawn by Vanessa Del Rey. This comes to us from Image Comics, set to be released in January for $3.99. And this premiere issue is looks to helm a series of one-shot stories about clowns. They promise that it may maybe not all be the same genre that like you might be familiar with from Ice Cream Man, where it all had a kind of a Twilight Zone style of horror and just out there type stuff going on. But I'd imagine that W. Maxwell Prince probably has some deranged things at least to present to us when he's talking about clowns. And it says that haha is a genre-jumping, throat-lumping look at the sad, scary, hilarious life of those who get paid to play the fool. But these ain't your typical jokers. With issues drawn by Vanessa Del Rey, Gabriel Walta, who did art for The Vision, and Roger Langridge, who did work on Thor in the past, and more, haha peeks under the big top, over the rainbow, and even inside a balloon to tell a wide-ranging slew of stories about, quote, funny men and women, proving that some things are so sad, you just have to laugh. So, I'm entertained by what he's been doing with the Ice Cream Man series, and I'm definitely curious to see where he takes this idea of clowns. And the fact that he's got all kinds of different artists lined up means his series has been making some waves in the comic community. And I hope he really does have some great artists and tell some great stories that are maybe geared towards what those artists have to bring to the table. And it also does mention here, I just see there's a little extra note. The gut punch storytelling of Ice Cream Man is echoed in these standalone clown stories, which range in genre well beyond just the horror nods to Pennywise. So hopefully for even some of those readers out there that aren't just into the horror and creepy style of stories, maybe there'll be a little bit something there for you as well. So check it out, starting this January, and that's HaHa.
Hey, this is James here, recording my clips for the preview spotlight. And the first section that I'm starting in is the image section. And it's not the first thing I saw this month. It's actually on page 42, where there's actually some reprint material. It says back in print after nearly a decade. Criminal Deluxe Edition Volume 1 hardcover and Criminal Deluxe Edition Volume 2 hardcover. These two hardcovers are 432 pages each, and they both retail for $50. So I'm guessing they'll be like 40% off, maybe 50% off if we're at Cowabunga. And these hardcovers collect basically the run of Criminal. So it says the first one collects Coward, Lawless, The Dead and the Dying, and more. And the next one collects Bad Knight, The Sinners, The Last of the Innocent, and more. So this is by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Great creative team. They do a good work with Criminal. They've actually revisited the world in some of the other books that they've done, and you'll see characters pop up from time to time. But this is really a good read, and if you haven't read it before, you might want to check this out because it's basically all together in one big book, which I really like. You can also, if you wanted to, they're resoliciting Criminals Volume 1 through 7 trade paperback, but I kind of like hardcovers, and these are supposed to be oversized, and I just like the format versus having something that's, you know, maybe I'll need to get another edition. The soft covers, if I really like something, I always want to upgrade to the hardcover, where it's something that's just kind of set to the side. I don't mind reading trade paperbacks. But on to my next pick.
What's up, guys? This is my first recording for this month's preview section. I am in the image section on page 60, Walking Dead Deluxe. Number 6 and 7 is on here, but I just want to talk in general. I have not read number 1 from the Deluxe. I haven't seen the color pages yet. But get on now, and you can read The Walking Dead from the beginning, where we all missed it. I missed it way back when it first started. Watched the TV shows. They were amazing. So now I'm on the bandwagon, so to say. So The Walking Dead, the Deluxe, is colored. They didn't come out colored when they first started. But now they are colored, and they're $3.99. And the covers are amazing. There's a few covers for each one. You could probably still get number 1 and 2. I think that's the only ones that are out, 1 and 2. And start reading from the beginning. Find out where all the action started, just like the show. And get on it now, and we'll see. Hopefully he can put out all 194 issues or whatever it is without any hiccups with all this COVID stuff going on. I definitely read trades of this online when it was free with Hoopla, and the book is amazing. The black and white was pretty cool, but I'm sure the color is going to add a lot of features that we didn't see before, or the artistic ability of whoever this guy is. I think it's Dave McCraig. Definitely worth it. Get it now before it gets too hot again and you can't find number 1, 2, 3 or whatever the next hot numbers are. I think like 10's a hot one or something. So get them now. Order them. You know you'll get your discounts. And I'll see you guys on the next one.
It's Chris Brawley, a.k.a. Brawlinator, on the Slack channel and forums, and my first pick for this month is a series that I tried to pick up in floppies, but when the pandemic hit, the book kept getting resolicited, and my orders would be canceled. After issue number 2 got canceled without a new solicit, I made up my mind right then and there to just trade wait for this. What is it? It's found on page 68 in the previews catalog in the Dark Horse Comics section, and it's Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman and Pete Craig Russell. Now, along with art from the aforementioned Russell, you've also got work from Mike Mignola, Jerry Ordway, David Rubin, Peter Kowalski, Jill Thompson, and Dave Stewart. Now, this is Neil Gaiman's adaptation of the original myths that make up his 2017 prose novel of the same name. And now those stories are being adapted into comic book form, guided by the magnificent P. Craig Russell. These are all the original legendary tales assembled by Gaiman, bringing numerous Norse myths and adventures together in a package for modern audiences, while retaining that raucous fun and cosmic carryings on from the original mythmakers. Pete Craig Russell provides the layouts and the artwork for the opening story, which outlines the structure of the three worlds connected by the world tree. The next story is by Mike Mignola and explains how Odin gained his wisdom. The third story has got art by the wonderful Jerry Ordway. It tells the story about one of Loki's biggest pranks and how an angry Thor forced him to scramble to set things right. Yep, Loki and Thor don't belong exclusively over at Marvel. Who knew? I know you knew. This sounds like a fun project, and some of the top creators here are at the peak of their game. Norse mythology will be probably thought of as one of those classic storybooks about Asgard from your childhood that just crept up and hid itself on your bookshelf, only for you to find it years later. I'm hoping that this collection also includes some of the variant covers, or all of them. There was a great one by Bill Sienkiewicz. This book is already filled with master storytellers, though, and I'll be adding it to my pre-orders. This is the hardcover. It's on page 68 of this month's previews. It's Norse Mythology from Neil Gaiman.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums, and my first pick in this month's previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 69 with You Look Like Death, Tales of the Umbrella Academy, number 5 of 6, written by Gerard Way and Sean Simon, with art by Ian J. Colbard. Cover A is done by Umbrella Academy co-creator and original artist Gabriel Ba. Cover B is done by Ian J. Colbard. And cover C is done by Weshoyat Alvitri. And pardon me if I mispronounced that name. Klaus travels into the void in search of the dead wife of the vampire chimp boss. While he's there, Klaus's author friend provides dangerous insight into want-to-be starlet Vivian. Vivian bombs a rehearsal, but it's the cast and crew that really suffer. In shops January 20th, 2021 for the cover price of $3.99. It's hard to believe already we're looking at comic books for next year, but on second thought, the sooner this year's over, the better. I've read the first issue of this new Umbrella Academy miniseries, and I was worried about how I was going to like the art because I really enjoyed Gabriel Ba's style in the other Umbrella Academy miniseries, but I really enjoyed Colbard's art style. It really fits into the bizarre world of the Umbrella Academy, and the story fits into the Umbrella Academy universe, so I'm looking forward to reading You Look Like Death, Tales of the Umbrella Academy, number 5 of 6. Billy Hogan again. My second pick is still in the Dark Horse section on page 73 with Colonel Weird, Cosmagogue, number 4 of 4, written by Jeff Lemire, with cover and story art by Tyler Crook. Cover B is done by Malachi Ward. I will be getting cover A by the story artist Tyler Crook. Trapped in a cosmic pattern and losing his mind, Colonel Weird has a final revelation, taking him back to where everything started, and reveals the way toward freedom. In shops January 27, 2021 for the cover price of $3.99. As I've often said in these preview spotlight clips, I've been enjoying the Black Hammer universe and Colonel Weird, who's like an analog of Adam Strange, is a very unusual and interesting character. So I can't wait to get the first issue of this miniseries, which should be arriving in about a week or so from Discount Comic Book Service. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is on the very next page, number 74 in the Dark Horse section, with Barb Alien, Red Planet, number 3 of 5, written by Tate Brombal, story and cover art by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta. Cover B by Aud Koch, and cover C by Gabriel Walta. Mark Martz has found his place on Earth as both a decorated police officer and as the beloved superhero Barb Alien. But in the midst of the AIDS crisis, hatred from all sides makes balancing these identities impossible, especially when a Martian enemy from the past hunts him down to take him back, dead or alive. In shops January 20th of 2021 for $3.99. Barb Alien, who is an analog of the Martian Manhunter of DC Comics, is another interesting and original take on a superhero. I will also be getting the first issue of this miniseries in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service in about a week or so, so I'm looking forward to reading Barb Alien Red Planet miniseries.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog. It's from the Dark Horse Comics section, and that is the Usagi Yojimbo Saga, Volume 1, 2nd Edition, either trade paperback or limited edition hardcover. And this is from page 78 of the main preview catalog, written and drawn, of course, by Stan Sakai. And this particular issue jumps out at me because after hearing John and various of his co-hosts and contributors to the various programs talk about Usagi Yojimbo over time, I feel it is definitely the chance to jump into this particular series. It's going to be a reprint of course, this first volume that was published many years ago. And for those of you who pay attention to these kind of things, IDW has the current license on his new work, and they've been printing a lot of that in color, but this is going to be the black and white original series, volume 2, which I believe is what he started when he came over to Dark Horse so many years ago. It collects issues 1 through 16, as well as volume 3, issues number 1 through 6. And basically, anybody not familiar, it's the Ronin Rabbit on his quest across feudal Japan and the various quests that he comes on. And so I'm definitely anxious to jump into some of those original adventures. IDW printed some colorized versions of a few of those earlier stories, and you can really see how that level of quality is there from the earliest all the way through to what he's still producing today. And so I'm definitely going to be picking up the trade paperback, which looks like it's going to be available on March 24th, 632 pages for $29.99. And looking at the size that's given, 7x10, I believe that's standard comic size. So this is just a normal trade paperback. And if you feel like making the upgrade to the Ultra Premium Super Deluxe Limited Edition hardcover that's signed, you can get that for $80 in a hardcover format. But I think I'll stick with trade paperback this time around.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Future State, The Next Batman, numbers 1 and 2 from DC Comics. DC starts 2021 with a new branding initiative slash event, which is Future State. So in between Dark Knight's death metal and whatever the future of DC Universe is, come spring of 2021, we get take this sort of detour to Future State. And over the course of, you know, January, February, for the most part, bleeds into March a little bit, we will get this new initiative. We'll meet a lot of new characters, some new concepts. One of the titles that I'm really interested in is Future State, The Next Batman. If you've been following rumor sites like Bleed and Cool and so forth, they've been hinting at this character for a while. This title is actually an anthology that focuses on a number of Batman concepts and characters and so forth. The lead is The Next Batman, which is written by John Ridley. Art for it, issue 1, is by Nick Darrington. Art for issue 2 is Laura Braga. That's only for, again, the Next Batman strip. Now, some of the other strips contained within this title are Outsiders by Brandon Thomas, with art by Sumit Kumar. Arkham Knights, written by Paul Jenkins, with art by Jackson Herbert. And then we also have Batgirls, written by Vida Ayala, with art by Aneke Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. And then we also have another strip, which is Gotham City Sirens, written by Paula Sevenbergen and art by Emanuela Lupacino. Quite frankly, outside of the next Batman, the two strips that I'm most looking forward to are Batgirls and Gotham City Sirens. I have a real love for the two characters who are at the center of Batgirls. We, according to solicitation text, it's going to involve Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown. Both of these characters had the mantle of Batgirl in separate ongoing series prior to the DC New 52. Cassandra, for instance, became Batgirl late 90s. Stephanie Brown had a Batgirl series in the late 2000s. And I'm really looking forward to this. Vita Ayala is a writer whose work has captured my attention in part of the last year or so. So I'm very curious to see what she does with those characters. Gotham City Sirens is another strip that I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, it's based on the solicitation text. It's sort of a mix of the classic lineup and something new. We get Catwoman, we get Poison Ivy, we get someone new. But it's Gotham City Sirens, so I probably will lay money that Harley Quinn shows up at some point. I'm not familiar with the writer, of the Gotham City Sirens strip. Definitely familiar with the artist. Emmanuel Lupacino has been doing work at Marvel and DC for years. I love her style. It's very clean, especially when she has the right inker and the right colors. It just really pops. Now, let me back up a little bit and just say something about the next Batman. John Ridley, who is writing that strip, is an Oscar-winning filmmaker. He has written comics previously. He wrote The American Way, which the first series was released by Wildstorm, if I remember correctly. The second series, which was released by Vertigo, it starred a black superhero during Jim Crow era. It's clear that Ridley loves superhero concepts and tropes, so I'm very curious to see what he does with the next Batman. Now, given that this is an anthology, it's not going to be the standard $3.99 price point. Each issue of the next Batman will be 64 pages. You're supposed to be getting three strips per issue. Each issue will cost $7.99. If you are a Batman fan, probably want to pick this up, sample it. You know, I'm hoping that a number of these characters, concepts stick around post future state. DC has plenty of Earths out there that these characters can land on. Future State, the next Batman, issues 1 and 2 can be found on pages 5 and 6 of DC Connect. Each issue again costs $7.99 for 64 pages.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am the DC number 5 of 78 flicks. We're looking at Aquaman number 1. Future State Aquaman, written by Brandon Thomas, art and cover by Daniel Sampier, and cardstock variant cover by Kari Randolph. On sale, $126, $3.99, 32 pages, 1 of 2, full color. Cardstock, of course, is $4.99. You know how DC does. So I know who Jackson Hyde is. I love the picture of Andy Curry on the cover there, Arthur Amira's daughter. In this one, he loses her, and he's trying to escape something. This book looks great. Number 2, I'm hoping it's going to be great. I'm only getting this one and maybe Batman when they come out. So put me down for Aquaman, put me down for Batman, and that's probably it on Future State. All right, on to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time from the DC Connect digital magazine on page 14 with Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number 1 of 2. Immortal Wonder Woman story written by Michael W. Conrad and Becky Cloonan with art by Jen Bartel. The story Nubia was written by L.L. McKinney with art by Alta Martinez and Mark Morales. The cover art is done by Jen Bartel, with the cardstock variant cover done by Peach Momoko, on sale January 19th, 2021, for the cover price of $5.99 for 48 pages, and the cardstock variant cover will be $6.99. The Undoing are coming. Long past the age of heroes, few of Diana Prince's friends survive, and most of her sisters have passed as well. As an immortal goddess, this is her lot. But then, a threat appears that even the mighty Darkseid can't handle, and it's up to Wonder Woman to take on this battle. It's big action and high fantasy at the end of time, courtesy of Eisner Award-winning cartoonist Becky Cloonan by Chance of Providence and Gotham Academy, and her Doom Patrol co-writer Michael W. Conrad, with the popular artist Jen Bartel from Blackbird making her interior art debut for DC. Then peer into a closer future as the original champion of Themyscira strikes out on her own. Things have not been stable on Paradise Island for some time, and Nubia has found a new home in man's world. Now she is tasked with protecting it from the dangers of the world of myths and magic. The writer of DC's Nubia Real One, L.L. McKinney, takes this powerful Amazon to a whole new level. When I began reading through the solicits for this slate of future state titles, they reminded me a lot of the imaginary stories that I read when I was a kid in the 1960s, where they would take the DC characters and put them in unusual situations that they normally would not have in their regular continuity, like marry them off or have them have children, and what would it be like when their children took over, etc. So I've stretched my comic book budget this month a little bit to try to fit as many of these in as I can. Unfortunately, I can't get them all, but I'm going to get as many of them as I can afford.
My next pick is on page 15 of the DC Connect catalog. It is Future State Justice League number 1. Now, I'm excited about this because it looks like an interesting group of characters. We've got the new Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, and Aquawoman of this world, this era, whatever this future state winds up being. And it just looks cool. So would I be excited about this if it were, you know, the rumored 5G stuff that was going to replace the mainstream universe permanently? Probably not. But as a 2-month event, yeah, I'm curious about it to see where it goes. And if you recall back with Flashpoint, they actually told a pretty interesting story in those 3 months and gave a fully realized world in fairly short order. And I'm hoping they're going to do that with Future State. Now, if you also think back to Flashpoint, a few of those characters stuck around afterwards. I believe that's where we first got the modern incarnation of the Shazam family. And there's already rumors of a few of these characters, such as possibly the Flash here, or maybe it's the Kid Flash, I forget which, being used after this. So we'll see what happens. So I'm curious about this one. Once again, that's Future State Justice League number 1 on page 15 of the DC Connect catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Connect digital magazine is on page 16 with Future State Kara Zor-El Superwoman, number 1 of 2, written by Marguerite Bennett, with art by Marguerite Sauvage, with cover art by Paulina Gaucho, pardon me if I've mispronounced any of those names, cardstock variant cover by Alex Garner, on sale January 12, 2021, and the cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. Kara Zor-El, Superman's hot-tempered cousin, has finally found peace and purpose away from Earth and its heroes. Now known as Superwoman, she watches over the moon and the refugees from across the galaxy who have congregated there. But all of that is about to change when a spaceship piloted by a runaway alien crash-lands and turns Kara's world upside down. Does this fugitive come in peace, or does this arrival bring war to our hero's front door? Reading this solicit reminded me of a few of the Supergirl imaginary stories that I've read from the mid-1960s, so I couldn't resist picking up Future State Kara Zor-El Superwoman number 1 of 2. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Connect digital magazine comes on the very next page, number 17, with Future State, Legion of Superheroes number 1 of 2. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art and cover by Riley Rosmo, and cardstock variant cover by Ian McDonald. On sale January 26, 2021 for $3.99 for 32 pages. The cardstock variant cover is $4.99. Whatever happened to the Legion of Superheroes? The team is no more, and the United Planets are in total chaos, as one of the Legion's own has turned on the entire galaxy. Everyone is affected, and not everyone survived. Ultra Boy tries to put the Legion back together to face the future head on. Find out the fates of all your favorite Legionnaires like Shadowless, Triplicate Girl, Brainiac 5, and Bouncing Boy. Plus, a shocking twist in the mythology, and a long overdue appearance by the Legion of Substitute Heroes. It's all here in a truly way out tale by writer Brian Michael Bendis and artist extraordinaire Riley Rosmo. As I've said many times before, I'm almost as big a fan of the Legion of Superheroes as I am of Superman himself, and this one has me really excited. First of all, it has a couple of staples of past Legion continuity, like what looks to be a Legion traitor. The plot seems similar to the 5 years later era of the Legion, which is the first one that I was able to follow on a month-by-month basis. And believe it or not, what got me the most excited is the appearance of the Legion of Substitute Heroes. For those of you not familiar with the Legion of Substitute Heroes, these were teens with powers and abilities that didn't make their Legion tryout. They flunked out, but they didn't give up. They said, you know, we may have flunked our Legion tryout, but we still believe in ourselves and our abilities, so we're going to get together and do our best to help protect the United Planets like the Legion does. And eventually one of their own wound up being able to join the Legion and actually become leader of the Legion of Superheroes, and that was Polar Boy. So I'm really looking forward to reading Future State Legion of Superheroes number 1.
My next pick is on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog. It is Future State Nightwing number 1. I'm getting this for a couple of reasons. One, I'm a big Nightwing fan, so was going to get it on that grounds. Two, it's got Nicola Scott on the art, so, you know, she's a great artist. I love the character. Why wouldn't I get this? And three, yeah, I'm planning on going all in on Future State at this point. It's a 2-month event. It looks interesting. I'm curious about it. After that, though, it really comes down to what DC has to offer as to what I'm going to be getting from DC. Having been bounced off all the ongoing titles from DC, they've got to re-earn me next month as a reader. So while I'm all in for Future State, and that's good for DC in those 2 months, we'll see what happens afterwards. Anyways, with Future State Nightwing, I like the character. This is going to be him meeting the new Batman of this world and seeing what all happens there. So should be pretty fun. It's a 2-part story, so it'll conclude next month. Easy, minimal investment. We'll see what happens. So once again, that's Future State Nightwing number 1 on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick from the DC Connect digital magazine is on page 22 with Future State Superman of Metropolis number 1 of 2. Superman of Metropolis, written by Sean Lewis, with art by John Timms. The Guardian, written by Sean Lewis, with art by Cully Hamner. And Mr. Miracle, written by Brandon Easton, with art by Valentin Delandro. The cover is drawn by John Timms. The cardstock variant cover is done by In-Hyuk Lee, and pardon me if I mispronounced that name. And there's also a cardstock blank variant cover. On sale January 15th, 2021 for $5.99. for 48 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $6.99. Before leaving for parts unknown, Clark Kent entrusted Earth's safety to a son. Now, Jonathan Kent is Superman. Top priority for this new Superman to protect Metropolis. When a new version of Brainiac attacks, John takes drastic measures. which result in the bottled city of Metropolis. But watch out, John, because Supergirl's on her way and she is not happy with your decision. Meanwhile, in the new bottled city, a new hero has risen. Jake Jordan, the former Manhattan Guardian, came to the City of Tomorrow to start over. But he's not the only one who wants a new beginning. An anarchist calling herself Honest Mary sees this time of trouble as an opportunity for rebirth, and she'll tear down the entire city to prove her point. Does Jake have what it takes to save his new home from disasters both inside and out of the bottle? Superman's former pal Jimmy Olsen is going to make sure he does. Finally, the current Mr. Miracle, Shiloh Norman, is also in the bottle, and he's looking for a way out. He'd better be careful, though, or he may end up someplace unexpected. It's a story that continues in Superman Worlds of War number 1. In a way, this story reminds me of one that I first read in Superman number 181, the November 1965 issue, called The Superman of 2965, about a distant relative of Superman 1,000 years in the future. That descendant also appeared in Action 338 and 339 the next year. Even though this issue doesn't go that far in the future, we see the beginnings of Superman's legacy as he hands the baton to his son, Jonathan. And it looks like this issue has set up a very interesting premise. Has John Kent Superman made the right decision in making Metropolis into a bottle city to protect it from a new or updated Brainiac? And what's going to be the fallout between the new Superman and Superwoman? I can't wait to read it. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is on the very next page in the DC Connect digital magazine on page 23 with Future State Superman vs. Imperius Lex number 1 of 3. Written by Mark Russell with art by Yannick Paquette and cardstock variant cover by Simone DeMeo. On sale January 26, 2021 for the cover price of $3.99 for 32 pages. And the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. Welcome to Lexor, home of the greatest businessman in the multiverse, Lex Luthor. After years of prosperity, Lex's utopia is at last ready to join the ranks of the United Planets and promote peace among worlds. However, Lex has never done anything unless he had something to gain from it. What could it be up to this time? Sounds like a job for Superman and his wife Lois Lane, the Earth representative to the United Planets. It's time the Man of Steel shut down this former Metropolis magnate once and for all. This solicit had me at the mention of the planet Lexor, because Lexor goes all the way back to Superman number 164, the October 1963 issue, where Lex Luthor escaped prison and in a spaceship travels to the planet Lexor, where he discovers the people have regressed, they've lost the ability to operate their own technology of their ancestors. So first, he finds a new source of water to save them from the drought, and he learns how to revive their lost technology. And so on Lexor, he's a hero, and Superman's the villain to them. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the creative team is going to update the concept of the planet Lexor and seeing Superman and Lois Lane work as a team. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Connect digital magazine is also on the following page, number 24, with Future State, Superman Worlds of War number 1 of 2. Superman Worlds of War writer Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Mikhail Janin, Midnighter written by Michael W. Conrad and Becky Cloonan with art by Gleb Maklinikov, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Black Racer written by Jeremy Adams with art by Siva Ohm, Mr. Miracle written by Brandon Easton with art by Valentin Delandro and cover by Mikhail Janin, cardstock variant cover by Ricardo Federici. Pardon me if I mispronounce any of those names. On sale January 19th, 2021. It's $7.99 for 64 pages, and the cardstock variant cover is $8.99. This monumental Future State title features four big stories. First, Clark Kent is gone, leaving a Superman-shaped hole behind. People gather in Smallville to celebrate their hero, little realizing that he is across the galaxy helping others. Superman has gone to War World, where he fights as a gladiator in the deadly pits of Mongol. But this is Superman we're talking about, and his idea of a victory does not line up with the expectations of Mongol's hordes. Meanwhile, on the other side of War World, other agents are at work, struggling for a better life. Shiloh Norman, the man known as Mr. Miracle, has ridden the boom tube across the cosmos from Metropolis to find himself at odds with an entire planet. At the same time, Midnighter, the greatest fighter from Earth, is punching his way through a whole mess of trouble. He's on the hunt for an energy source deadlier than kryptonite. His goal? To shut it down before it gets unleashed on an unexpected universe. On top of that, the Black Racer, a girl raised in the slums of War World to be one of its top competitors, turns betrayal into a crusade to fight for the freedom of others like her. And this Black Racer kind of reminds me of the Hunger Games. Superman first fought at War World during the Superman Exile storyline of the late 80s, early 90s, and that's when I first jumped into reading Superman again as an adult. So I can't wait to read about this version of War World and Mongol and see how Superman does against them. The final Future State issue that I'll be getting in this month's DC Connect digital issue is on the very next page, number 25, with Future State, Superman, Wonder Woman, number 1 of 2, written by Dan Waters with art by Layla DeLuca, with cover by Lee Weeks and cardstock variant cover by Jeremy Roberts. And I'll be getting the Lee Weeks cover because I really loved his artwork for the very first miniseries. It introduced Superman and Lois Lane as parents of their infant son, Jonathan. This will be on sale January 12th, 2021 for $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant cover will be $4.99. The sun has set on the heroes of the past, and a new age is dawning. As two arrogant gods challenge one another to a contest of strength, Superman and Wonder Woman are forced to take action to save their cities from chaos. Together, Jonathan Kent and Yara Flor, man of science and woman of myth, have the potential to become something powerful. But that's only if they can learn to get along. Can the two fledgling heroes put their differences aside long enough to save the world they have sworn to protect? What attracted me to this issue was the idea of legacy characters. Jonathan Kent is the new Superman, and Yara Flor is the new Wonder Woman. I couldn't quite fit the Future State issue introducing her as the new Wonder Woman into my budget, but I'm looking forward to seeing Jonathan Kent interact with this new Wonder Woman. And I'm curious, is the conflict going to lead to them becoming a couple? Who knows? But I can't wait to read it.
Dr. Mo here with another DC pick for the Previews Spotlight episode. It's Future State and Immortal Wonder Woman, number 1. This Future State title is another anthology. It features two strips, Immortal Wonder Woman, written by Becky Cloonan and Michael Conrad, with art by Jen Bartel. It features Diana. The second strip in this book is Nubia, written by YA fantasy writer L.L. McKinney, with art by Alethea Martinez and Mark Morales. And I have to say that the enthusiasm that I've been seeing about this book on social media, it's probably hitting, it's approaching a 10, and we're not even at January yet. The writer of the Nubia strip, L.L. McKinney, she is so excited about being part of this. It just makes you very enthusiastic, because from what I can tell, she is sort of is a newish comic book writer. I believe I understand that she wrote the DC Nubia YA title, and the art by Alethea Martinez. The design for Nubia just looks gorgeous. It especially is inked by veteran Mark Morales. If you are on Twitter, you know, really check it out. It's a gorgeous piece of artwork. The Immortal Wonder Woman strip. You know, I love Jen Bartel's artwork. She had an Image series called Blackbird. Looks gorgeous. Absolutely stunning. The Wonder Woman that's featured on the cover of this book, you know, it looks like a very imposing Diana. Just so happens that Diana just has this gray streak in her hair, but, you know, it feels like, you know, Diana. And now, according to the solicitation text, that in the Immortal Wonder Woman strip, she will be dealing with Darkseid. So, you know, we'll be having some sort of classic DC characters in the mix. And, you know, with Nubia, we really don't get a whole lot of Nubia. Honestly, I'm trying to remember the last time Nubia really appeared. Was it the 90s? I really can't remember. I always find that Nubia is this interesting, there's this interesting dichotomy between Nubia and Diana. Really curious to see, you know, where they take this character in this title. Now, again, because it does have two strips, this is an oversized issue. It's supposed to be 48 pages. It's going to cost $5.99 each. Okay. I think that Future State is actually really going to spoil Wonder Woman fans, because not only do you have this title, Immortal Wonder Woman, but there is another Future State Wonder Woman title as well. So if you're a fan of Diana or the Wonder Woman concept, you know, January, February of 2021 is going to be a smorgasbord for you. I mean, plus there's that also that sort of Future State Wonder Woman Superman team up book. So truly, I mean, when's the last time you're getting like three Wonder Woman titles on the stands at the same time? So really, bravo DC. I mean, if fans can't get Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters or on some sort of streaming platform because of COVID, you might as well give them a nice selection of Wonder Woman comics to enjoy. Again, Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number 1 can be found on page 14 of DC Connect. And again, this 48 page title costs $5.99.
My final pick from the DC Connect digital magazine is on page 32 with Batman, The Adventure Continues, number 8 of 8. Written by Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, with art by Ty Templeton. The cover is done by Maria Andolfo, with a variant cover done by Ronnie Del Carmen. The cover price is $3.99, with the variant cover $4.99 for 30 story pages in a 32-page issue. It's the holidays in Gotham City, and Harley and Ivy have a wonderful idea. They want to hold a party for all the city's villains to commemorate the season. But one evildoer wasn't invited and has sent a devious present to the festivities to make some mischief. Can Batman intercept the package and save the villains? Or is it the final night for these fiendish foes? I wonder just who that evildoer that didn't receive the invitation is. I've really enjoyed the issues that I've read so far of Batman The Adventure Continues miniseries. It really captures the essence and the atmosphere of the original animated series and the comic book adaption that ran at the same time. It sounds like there might be some dark humor with Ivy and Harley, which was typical of the episodes of the Batman animated series that they appeared in. So I can't wait to read how this miniseries wraps up.
Brawlinator again, and my next pick is in the DC Connect catalog, and it is the final issue of a series that only launched in October of 2019. It's The Last God. It's on DC's Black Label. Fans of Sword and Sorcery or the TV show Game of Thrones should be reading this series, and if you missed it, I do recommend that you check out a collected edition if DC decides to publish one. I'm hoping they will. The Last God is one of those comics that has a lot going on. You may even need to read it more than once. Writer Philip Kennedy Johnson packs so much lore and story about this original setting into the very first issue. You've got legends, history, and even song lyrics. It really reminded me a lot of Tolkien. And you can see all the time and effort that Johnson has put into this world. So if you're into fantasy epic storytelling, you won't be let down by The Last God. It's a world teeming with terrible monsters, ambitiously cruel people, and heroes aplenty with violent, bloody, and visceral action. It's definitely not like anything else DC has been publishing lately. It's an original all its own, and I think it's one of the overlooked gems of the Black Label line. As I said, this is for the final issue, but when you see a collected edition, I hope you'll grab it. I'll try to mention it when and if I see it solicited. And this final issue, number 12 of The Last God, can be found on page 41 in DC Connect.
Hey, this is James back with my second pick. And this time I'm over in the DC Connect. I remembered to actually pull it up. Without the catalog, it's kind of hard to remember to pull it up. So when I'm recording these, I usually just go through the magazines. But I remembered to go online this month. It looks like everyone's calling out the future state stuff, so I wasn't going to focus too much on that. The one thing that I was going to tell you guys I was picking up that interested me, and I'm probably going to ask a little bit more about on the Slack channel, on page 57, it looks like, in the Connect, there is an omnibus for Swamp Thing, the New 52, written by Scott Snyder. That sounds good. Jeff Lemire sounds good. Charles Soule can be decent. And others. I don't know who others are. And a whole slew of artists. But it collects quite a bit of material. It's 1,160 pages for $125, which means I will be getting it for $62.50 from Cowabunga. But it collects Swamp Things 0 through 40. And then it says 0 again. I don't know what that means. Another 0. 23.1, Swamp Thing Annual 1 through 3, Swamp Thing Futures in number 1, Animal Man number 12 and 17, and Aquaman 31. So I'm guessing everything that was Swamp Thing in the New 52 is collected here. Once again, I'll check and see if that's actually good material or not, but that did catch my eye, so that will be something that I'll probably pick up from DC. All right, on to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick back, and I am in the IDW section of previews. I'm on page 99, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 113. Writer-artist, Sophie Campbell. Cover, Sophie Campbell as A, Kevin Eastman's B, like always, and retailer incentive as Matt Lenzniski, or something like that. Sorry, Matt. Full cover, 32 pages, $3.99, available in January. It's the only thing we have. This one is spotlighted, because Karai searches for two new powerful mutants who could tip the balance of the power in New York City. Meanwhile, a familiar character from the future arrives at the most unusual quest. All of this and the return of Bebop and Rocksteady? Dun, dun, dun. Don't miss the start of an exciting new story arc as Sophie Campbell returns to interior art. This is Ninja Turtles, bro. It's just pick it up. Why hesitate? Why are you doing that? Just pick up Ninja Turtle. This may be a good one. Bebop and Rocksteady comes back. I haven't seen them. I started picking up this book around, spoiler alert, when Spike died. And I've been reading the whole time, and I don't remember seeing Bebop and Rocksteady in there. So stop hesitating. Pick up the book, man. It's a good one. It's a good read. All right, on to the next one.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time from the IDW section. On page 100, with Usagi Yojimbo, Wanderer's Road, number 3 of 6, written and drawn by Stan Sakai, with the cover drawn by Peach Momoko. Zato Ino, the blind swords pig, returns to claim his revenge against Usagi, who took his eyesight in a previous sword fight. Will Usagi be able to survive when the playing field is made level? In shops on January 27th, 2021 for $3.99. Zato Ino is a worthy adversary of Usagi, who was introduced earlier in this miniseries, at least for me, and I'm enjoying this reprint of some of the past Usagi Yojimbo storylines that I missed when I was late coming to the party of reading Usagi Yojimbo. Stan Sakai uses anthropomorphic characters to present Japanese culture, folklore, and history. So I would recommend this to anyone, even if they aren't necessarily comic book readers, because it takes the comic book medium and uses it as a way to teach about another culture and set of customs. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the IDW section on page 115 with Comic Book History of Animation number 3 of 5, written by Fred Van Lente, with story and cover art for covers A and B, both done by Ryan Dunleavy. The team behind IDW's Comic Book History of Comics returns with a brand new series. After World War II, Cartoon Cool brings a new hipness to Toon Makers. But new dangers, too. The legendary UPA defies Disney-esque cuteness to redefine the medium, but can they survive the House Un-American Activities Committee? Uncle Walt wades into controversy with the Song of the South, while over at Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes master Chuck Jones revolutionizes the short subject with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. End shops January 20th, 2021, for $3.99. I love Walt Disney cartoons as well as the Looney Tunes. They were the main thing I enjoyed watching on Saturday mornings growing up. Eventually, I'm going to have to get the Comic Book History of Comics, but I'm glad I'm in the ground floor for getting the Comic Book History of Animation, which, even though I'm now 60 years old, I enjoy cartoons just as much as I did when I was a kid. Or to put it another way, maybe I really just haven't grown up.
My next pick is on page 8 of the Marvel Previews catalog. It is Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black number 3. Now, I'm not all in on King in Black. Matter of fact, I think the Symbiote Spider-Man may be just about the only part of it I'm getting. I'm not getting the King in Black series itself. I'm just not that excited about the symbiotes and so forth. But I got on board Spider-Man with the black costume storyline back in the day. I enjoy Peter David's writing. I like Greg Land's art. And this has the Captain Marvel of the time, the Monica Rambeau version, and looks like a lot of fun. So I'm curious about that one. I'm excited about this era of Spider-Man. So yeah, I'm getting this. And no, I'm not getting the rest of the King in Black stuff. Hopefully people who are enjoying it. It does seem to be spilling over into a lot of titles. This is one of those things, the storylines that fell victim to me no longer being all in at Marvel and DC. I'm just not getting a lot of these things. And when they do these things that have a lot of spin-off miniseries and such, that would have increased my order before. Now it's actually, you know, actively decreasing it in some areas, because while I'm interested in certain characters as part of this major storyline, I may not get it. But anyways, Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black number 3. I'm curious how this ties into the storyline, since this is set in the past and the King in Black stuff, I believe, is happening in the present day. We'll find out when it comes out. Once again, that Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black number 3 on page 8 of the Marvel Previews.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick now, and I'm in the Marvel Preview Supplements. I am on page 9, King in Black, number 3 of 5. But if you scroll all the way back to even number 1, Venom number 32 is a King in Black tie-in. We have Gwenom vs. Carnage, picking that one up. Planet of the Symbiotes. We got Thunderbolts. We got the Black Knight. There's a ton of King in Black tie-ins. And I can't afford to pick them up all of these after picking up all of the X of Swords. So I am picking up the main one and Gwenom. And we'll see. Oh, obviously I'm picking up Venom. We'll see about the Planet of Symbiotes. But I'm not picking up Thunderbolts. I'm not picking up Black Knight. But the main book, of course, you got to pick that up. I love some of the awesome art on this too, because now they're introducing aliens. That's right. They're introducing aliens. So some of these covers are awesome looking. All right, so I'll read this King of Black number 3 of 5. Donny Cates is writer. Ryan Stegman is artist and color. Artist and colorist. Dragon variant, which you don't see. Declan Shalvey. Connecting variant cover by Lenil Francis Yu. Tattoo variant cover by Ian Bederman. Sure, that guy. Spoiler variant cover by Ken Lashley. Marvel vs. Alien variant cover by Valerio, guy with a very Italian last name. And Virgin Sketch variant cover by Ryan Stegman. I definitely want the Alien one, but I guess we'll have to wait for FOC to find out what is going on with all these covers. So I will try to get the one with Alien. If that one doesn't work because it's a ratio variant one or something, you know, you get just get cover A and you should be good. Connecting variant, definitely don't want that. Tattoo variant sounds interesting. I may get that one. But definitely getting the Xenomorph cover of, which one was it? Venoms. That one looks sick by Ryan Brown. Yeah, so that's just the beginning of my Marvel selections. On to the next one. X-Men Patrick here, and I am still in the Marvel supplement. I am in page 11, Black Cat. This is Black Cat number 2, Jed McKay's a writer, C.F. Villa artist, cover by Pepe Larez, variant cover of Olivier Coplier, and variant cover by Arist Dan, variant cover by Adam Hughes, Marvel vs. Alien variant cover by Peach Momoko. That one actually doesn't look too bad, doesn't look very Peach Momoko-ish. That looks pretty good. I'm staring at the picture even more now. She's hugging a couple of those face hugger eggs, and the queen is jumping at her from behind. All right, classic game of cat and symbiote. Black Cat has to steal from Null himself. If you know Felicia Hardy, she never shows up inappropriately dressed. This issue, Felicia gets her own anti-venom costume. Yes, sir. I have been on a Black Cat kick for a little while now. I've actually trying to hunt down Amazing Spider-Man 194, I'm pretty sure it is. That's Black Cat's first appearance. I have a trade with it in it, and I enjoy reading their flirtatious back and forth with Spider-Man and Black Cat. She is way better than MJ, that's it. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank because Felicia's better. We could battle that later. Definitely picking up Black Cat number 1 and 2. I hate that they restarted it again, but, you know, this is Marvel. So I'm definitely picking that up, and, you know, I'm going to try to grab that Marvel versus Alien cover. But it's a Peach Momoko. It's probably an incentive. I may not be able to get it, but I will wait for the FOC to see what's going on. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental, and I kind of skipped through most of the King of Black stuff, but not really all of it, because the book I'm going to call out, it does say it's a tie-in to King of Black, but that's not why I'm recommending it. It's page 17, Savage Avengers number 17, written by Jerry Duggan, the art is Kev Walker, and this is, it says Black Skies Part 1. They've been doing this huge story in Savage Avengers, and so this may be a jumping on point because it's a part of a new story. One thing I'll tell you, there's been a huge cast of characters in Savage Avengers, everything from Wolverine, Misty Knight, to Conan, Deadpool this time. This comic has been action-packed and has had just the right amount of humor. Humor is difficult to do in a comic, and I would say probably 90% of the time it falls flat. It doesn't work. But this book it's been working in, and who would have thought Savage Avengers with Conan would be going again still at issue 17? It's a lot of fun. I think a lot of people would enjoy it if they gave it a chance. So I definitely recommend checking it out. This one, it says Black Skies Part 1, Conan rings in the new year on Rikers Island, which he promptly breaks out of with the help of Deadpool. The two warriors fight together against the symbiotes of Null, and Conan makes a surprising discovery that may help him overcome Kulan Goth. Kulan Goth is a character from Conan comics, and it's been the main antagonist that Doctor Strange, Conan, all these guys have been going after. So anyways, jump on board here, check it out. It's a really a good read, and it's not gimmicky. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental once again. Now, the one I'm going to point out, I'm kind of on the fence, so I may be picking it up. It looks kind of cool. It's on page 22 and 23, and it is Iron Fist, Heart of the Dragon. It's a six-issue series, and the thing that caught my eye is the writer's Larry Hama from G.I. Joe. You know, that's his claim to fame. And David Wachter, I think is the name, is the artist. But it's an Iron Fist epic that's coming out. I haven't had any Iron Fist in a while. So it says, someone is killing the ancient dragons that power the heavenly cities. And only Iron Fist and the deadly weapons can stop them. If they discover who they are in time, zombie armies, mystical portals, dragon hearts, some of the Marvel Universe's deadliest fighters, all converge in one action-packed extravaganza. And the fate of all the world hangs in the balance. Like I said, I'm not 100% sold if I'm going to get this. The art looks good. It looks solid because they give you four preview pages here in the Marvel Supplemental. And I just haven't read any Larry Hama in a while, so I may want to check it out just to see if I still enjoy him like I did back in the 80s. So on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. And this time I didn't go very far. I'm on page 26, and it's actually 26 and 27, where they have Maestro, War, and Pox. Pox, Roman Peace, 1 of 5. Now, Maestro, as I'm recording this, the three issues of the first series have come out. It's a 5-issue miniseries. Peter David's been doing this with Spider-Man, the symbiote Spider-Man, these little 5-issue stories that he's kind of weaving together, and they've been excellent. Every one of them has been really good. And I guess he's doing the same thing with the Hulk, and I can't blame him because Peter David was amazing when he wrote the Hulk. So here you have Peter David and Javier Pena, and the cover's Dale Keown if you're interested in that. The thing I would tell you is that with Maestro, you're getting a character that Peter David was near and dear to his heart that he created back on his Hulk run. So he's writing it. This is the origin story of the first book, and this is kind of like his rise to power. So I don't know how many miniseries are going to be in this collection, but I could see them being collected into another omnibus, you know, basically his symbiote Spider-Man stories or even his Maestro stories. And like I said, John's read them. I've read them. They've just been terrific. So if you're in for good reading, which hint, hint, this would probably be a good read. You definitely want to read these. They've been terrific. And on to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the Marvel Previews catalog from page 43 of that catalog. This is Iron Man number 5, written by Christopher Cantwell and artist Cafu. Covers by Alex Ross, who, of course, it need not be said, but always produces some of the best comic book covers month in and month out. And I'm always amazed that he is producing a lot of long run cover series for things like here Iron Man, but he's done Captain America or Immortal Hulk. Just always seems to capture the power and kind of mystic elements of some of these characters, and really does a good job with those covers. But every once in a while, I'll branch out and see what's going on over in Marvel. And with this current reboot of the series, it seems like they're getting away from Iron Man being trapped up in all kinds of corporate espionage kind of stuff, or tech versus tech, or exploring what it does it mean to be an artificial intelligence. You know, I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. I want to see Iron Man being Iron Man. And the first issue of that series definitely gave me some of that action. And also intriguing, I've been looking at the solicitation text for all the upcoming issues, and it looks like they're going with an approach here, kind of teaming up Iron Man, least for some of these initial stories, with Patsy Walker Hellcat. It's called this particular arc is called the Books of Korvac. So it's bringing in some of those different elements of the Marvel Universe. And, you know, I think that's really what you need from these kind of character books, is tell us a good story about the character, bring in elements at times of you know, little corners of the universe, and just tell us a good story. And Christopher Cantwell is definitely capable and proven of doing that. This particular issue, $3.99. And I'll read the solicitation text for those of you a little more knowledgeable about some of the characters and situations might entice you to keep going with this particular series. It says, it's put up or shut up time with Korvac as the android mastermind begins the next phase of his ascent towards absolute power. And Iron Man begrudgingly decides to finally ask for help. But from who? As he takes charge of new allies and tries to use Hellcat's weakened state to his advantage, Tony Stark might instead risk everyone's life, including his own, especially when he confronts Korvac himself one-on-one. So maybe we get a little hero versus villain action there as well. Definitely a credit to Marvel for giving us some of that in this series. Check it out this coming January.
My next pick is on page 46 of the Marvel previews. It is Fantastic Four, number 28. Now, on the cover, they show the Ultimate Nullifier. The story is called Nullified. It's mentioning the deadliest weapon in the universe, which, of course, is the Ultimate Nullifier. But really, that's not the main reason I am recommending this title. The reason I'm recommending this title is Dan Slott's been doing a terrific job on Fantastic Four lately. It's got a lot of fun stuff. We've got, again, the classic Fantastic Four. We've got Valeria. We've got Franklin. They've added a couple of new characters. And they're really taking advantage of the long and great history of the Fantastic Four to tell some great stories that are leveraging continuity without making you feel like you've got to have memorized all, you know, however many hundreds and hundreds of issues of Fantastic Four have been written over the years. I think it's great. I think it's accessible. I think it's a lot of fun. And it really gets towards the core of what the Fantastic Four can and should be. It's just a really great read. I'm sure this issue will be no different. They mention the shocking return of a major character and that this could, there's a decision that could forever change the lives of the Fantastic Four cast and so forth. Maybe that's just hyperbole for the solicitations and stuff. But by and large, they've been delivering on this title. So I think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's Fantastic Four, number 28, on page 46 of the Marvel previews.
Dr. Mo here with a Marvel pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Star Wars The High Republic, number 1. So I have a bit of a confession to make. I'm not a big fan of Star Wars as it pertains to the comics. Absolutely love the films. I love the television series, really happy that The Mandalorian is back. However, when it comes to the Skywalker legacy, I'm kind of at my saturation point as it pertains to the comics. Now, one of the things that got me interested in this sort of the High Republic era is it's very far removed from the Skywalker stuff. Second, that it's being supported in other media. There is going to be a novel written by Charles Soule, which is supposed to be scheduled to come out in 2021. I believe it also focuses on the same characters that are supposed to be in this comic. So I'm interested to get in on the ground floor on something brand new. Years ago, when Dark Horse had the Star Wars license, they put out a title called Star Wars Legacy, which was set a few hundred so years after the Skywalker era. Now, granted, that title featured a descendant of Luke Skywalker. However, it more or less tangentially tied into, you know, the sort of the sky, that the prime Skywalker era. And I enjoyed it. And I kind of got in on that series a little late. But I enjoyed what I read. And I really was looking for something similar when it comes to the Star Wars franchise. And I really hadn't found that up until now. I read a little Dr. Aphra. Enjoyed what I read. But I feel like it kept tying into what was going on in other Star Wars books. And I just kind of wanted something a little self-contained. And Marvel has finally delivered on that. Now, granted, I don't know a whole lot about the characters based on the preview art that's been released. We certainly are up for a lot of lightsaber battles or at least lightsaber training sequences. So if you enjoy that, this will be up your alley. There's some character designs for some of the aliens that are going to be in the series that look fairly interesting. So I am willing to give it a shot. Based on the information that I've gathered so far, the title is being written by Kevin Scott. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I am familiar with his work from Doctor Who. He's written some Doctor Who titles from Titan Comics. I believe he's also written some 2000 AD strips. So I've sampled some of his writing in the past. So, you know, I know he certainly has a love of science fiction. The art is by Arya Anadito. Had to look him up in the Grand Comic Book Database. He's done some work on some Marvel titles that I have purchased in the past, like Wolverine's, that miniseries. Did some work, helped out on the Extermination miniseries from a while back. So I'm familiar enough. You know, the pages are the artwork that I've seen so far. It's growing on me. And I think it tells a solid storyline. So we shall see. If you're looking for something self-contained that is heavily science fiction related, your classic space opera, I suggest trying this title out, especially if you are a fan of Star Wars. Star Wars, The High Republic number 1 can be found on page 68 of the Marvel Previews catalog.
S-Man Patrick here, and I dug through and I'm going to get my normal books in this Marvel supplement, you know, definitely picking up, you know, X-Men, Marauders, Wolverine, White and Red, Black, White and Red, Thor, you know, getting the normals. And getting near the back, and you got Star Wars High Republic. On the one page, they have the outline of, like, I guess the books and the movies that came out. And this is supposed to come before The Phantom Menace, The Attack of the Clones, The Clone Wars, Revenge of the Sith. This is supposed to be, like, way in the beginning. So that means one thing for all you spectators and speculators and all you Star Wars fans. First appearances. Don't skip out on this book. First appearances. Alright, let's read it. Star Wars The High Republic number 1. Kevin Scott, writer. Arya Anadito is the artist. Cover by Phil Noto. Couple of variants. And yeah, a bunch of variants. So, before the Skywalker saga, the golden age of the Jedi, a new era of Star Wars storyline begins. It is centuries before Skywalker saga. The Jedi are at their height, protecting the galaxy as Republic pioneers push out into new territories. As the frontier prepares for the dedication of the majestic Starlight Beacon, Padawan Keeve Trainus faces the ultimate choice. Will she complete her Jedi trials or rescue the innocent from disaster? New Jedi, new ships, new evils to fight. I'm telling you, man, this is the book to grab a few of. You know, Marvel cannot wait to put this on Disney Plus and add a cartoon show or add it as a movie and all these characters. They definitely get this issue. There's some sample art in here and it looks pretty good. But definitely going to chalk me up for a couple of these, you know, put them in the long box and stick them in the closet until they're worth, you know, millions of dollars and I can retire on it, right? All right, on to the next one.
All right, this is James, and I'm back to record an interesting clip. I know John always says one clip per pick, but I'm cheating. I'm recording one clip, but for two picks, but they're literally, I can see them on the same page, or pages opposite from each other. It's on pages 78 and 79, and what I'm going to term this is the Savage Omnibuy. Oh, and there, it's inside the Marvel Supplemental, just FYI. But it's two different Savage characters. We have Khazar, the Savage Omnibus, and then we have Kull the Savage, the original Marvel Years Omnibus. Now, I remember Kull, used to like him, didn't like him near as much as Conan, but it was a cool character and it was a fun read. So to go back and reminisce and read that stuff, it's going to be really cool. And on the front cover of the Kull Omnibus, it says, plus Red Sonja and Solomon Kane. So I'm definitely in for that. By the way, the Kull the Savage Omnibus is written by Roy Thomas, Chuck Dixon, Doug Minch, John Arcudi, and Jerry Conway, and Steve Englehart. So, I mean, you got a winning crew there, and everyone and their brother was an artist on here. But that one is going to be 968 pages for $125 or $62.50 from Cowabunga. Now, over on the Khazar side, the Khazar, the Savage Omnibus, you have, it's written by Bruce Jones, Mike Carlin, and more, and penciled by a lot of people. That one is 1,048 pages for $125 or $62.50. So I will be getting both Omnibuy for $125, which is a pretty good deal, 2,000 pages of material, and it's classic material. If you like Tarzan comics, you'll like Khazar. It's not the same, but it's basically Marvel's take on a Tarzan-like character, which is really kind of cool. Back then, they didn't have the license for Tarzan. Now it's kind of like public domain. But if I look down here, it says it collects Khazar the Savage, number 1 through 34. Now, over on the Kull side, it's collecting, it's an insane amount of stuff because Kull tended to appear not in one long run of his own comic. He kind of appeared all over the place. So it's like Kull and the Barbarians 1 through 3, Marvel Preview 19, Bizarre Adventures. I mean, then it's even Savage Short of Conan, like multiple issues 1 through 3, 7, 9, 161. It's just they're all spread out through here. So like I said, Kull rarely had his own book. He would just appear in Savage Short of Conan or other comics. So this is a way to get all your Kull stuff collected together. I think these are two fantastic retro books. To go back and buy these things, it's very pricey, so you might as well pick them up here. And usually when you buy them in an omnibus, it's kind of nice because there's a foreword, there's a letter. Marvel does a really nice job on the binding, and also when you take off the sleeves, there's a dust jacket on all these things. They really make the cover really nice besides the sleeve. A lot of time there's art on there and it feels really nice. It's a nice presentation. So I can't recommend these more. You guys need to pick these up if you're fans of either one of the characters. I'm definitely getting both. And on to my next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I am back with another Marvel Collected Edition in the Marvel Preview section. This is over on page 81. So no, it's not Kull, it's not Khazar. I'm really more of a Conan guy, but I'm also a Spidey guy. And this is a great companion series to the original Spider-Man by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. It's the collected omnibus of the Untold Tales of Spider-Man by Kurt Busiek. These are stories that Busiek fit between many of the adventures from when Peter Parker was still going to high school. Most of it is told using the 90s style of artwork that I know a lot of us are familiar and fond of. Although this collection begins with the three issues of Amazing Fantasy that have more of a beautiful painterly style of art. The rest of it's pretty much in that Mark Bagley style of artwork. This would be fun to read probably along with your Amazing Spider-Man Omnibus, number one. Lots of favorites in this collection from the Fantastic Four, Daredevil, X-Men, and even classic villains like Doc Ock and the Vulture and many more. Spider-Man fans should have a lot of fun with this collection. This is a new printing. It's not the first time it's ever been printed. I think it was last collected back in 2012 and hasn't been printed since. It collects just over 32 issues altogether, basically the whole shebang on these stories. It's got a retail price of $100, but you can get it for half that by pre-ordering it from Cowabunga. So pick this up if you're a classic Spider-Man fan. I think you'll have a lot of fun with this. Again, it's over on page 81 of this month's Marvel Previews.
Hey, this is James back again, and I'm in the Marvel Supplemental still. And it's just insane the number of good omnibus that I'm seeing in here. I almost wish I had more money than what I do. I actually have the money, but it's just reading time, and do I really want the stuff stacking up? But one I'm definitely getting, and the other one I want to point out. There's two omnibus. There's more than the two that I shouted out before and the two I'm shouting out now. But on pages 82 and 83, one is an omnibus, one is not, but it's basically almost like an omnibus. The first one is The Incredible Hulk by Peter David, Omnibus Volume 3. Peter David still has the best run of the Hulk, and that includes with the current Immortal Hulk, which is fantastic. But I do think Peter David's Hulk run was better. And this is the third volume. I've already shouted out, and I picked up the first two. I have the first one. The second one should be shipping to me shortly. This is 1,200 pages for $125 or $62.50 from Cowabunga. There's two different covers on it. And this one's collecting The Incredible Hulk's number 401 through 435, annuals 19 through 20, Incredible Hulk versus Venom, which was cool, Hulk Future Imperfect 1 and 2, which I liked, Tales to Astonish number 1 from the 1994 version, and even an Ashcan edition of Incredible Hulk Ashcan edition and a Marvel Holiday Special, which, they could leave that out. But they're literally giving you everything that Peter David did. Now, directly opposite of that is another, they don't call it an omnibus, but they're charging omnibus prices. And I think the reason why they don't call it an omnibus is it's only 592 pages. It's $125 or $62.50 is the price I'll pay. But this one I wanted to point it out because I think a lot of people will be interested in it. Kirby fans, anyone who is a fan of Kirby, listen to this. It is the complete Kirby War and Romance hardcover. And it's a big oversized hardcover. This stuff is darn near impossible to buy in single issues. And this is early Kirby. So let me tell you what you get with this. Of course, it's War and his romance stuff, but it's the Battle comic number 64 through 70, Battleground number 14, Sergeant Fury 1 through 8, 10 through 20, and 25, and then you get Love Romances. I've never read Kirby Romance, so this will be new to me. 83 through 85, 87 through 88, and 96 through 106. And then you get My Own Romance 71 through 76, and Teenage Romance 84 through 86. I'm going to try and find if I'm going to like this stuff. I am a Kirby fan, but that's a lot to pay for 500 pages, but I know it's just impossible to get this stuff in single issues, and so this may be your chance to get this material at $62.50, maybe a reasonable price, because honestly, $125, you probably would have to pay that for one of those comics. So that's an insanely good deal when you look at it that way. It's just stuff that they don't keep in print very often. So check that one out, and on to my next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I'm still in the Marvel section. I'm looking at Volume 3 of Peter David's Incredible Hulk Omnibus Collection. I'm so glad that they're collecting all this. I will be able to sell off a long box or so when they're done. This volume actually covers the time when I think mysteriously tapped out of The Incredible Hulk sometime in late 93 or so. I think I just missed Dale Keown's art, although Gary Frank was certainly a worthy successor. This 42 issues is collected here, and many of them I don't have in my singles collection, so I will be picking this up. It covers the era where the Hulk becomes the leader of the Pantheon, He faces everybody from Juggernaut to Venom, takes on S.H.I.E.L.D., and then fights the Interstellar Trojan War. This also contains the original two-issue, not really a one-shot, I guess, but it's when Maestro was introduced by Peter David, the future version of the Hulk, and there's a lot more here. If you've picked up the first two volumes, I think you're going to want to grab this volume as well. It's over on page 82 of the Marvel Previews. Brawlinator again, and my final pick this month is one more collected edition, and it's found on page 102 of the Marvel Previews. Sweet Christmas, it's Luke Cage Retribution, the Epic Collection. Now, if you've already grabbed Iron Fist and Power Man and Iron Fist, then you better get this too in the Epic Collection. It collects all the gritty 70s blaxploitation realism from the coolest hero for hire in the Marvel Universe. It's 23 issues of Luke Cage and Power Man, leading right up until Marvel combined this series with Iron Fist. It's classic stuff from Archie Goodwin, George Tuska, John Romita Sr., Len Wein, Steve Englehart, Tony Isabella, Jerry Conway, and the late, great Billy Graham. Get this immediately. It's Luke Cage, the Epic Collection, found on page 102 of this month's Marvel Previews. And that's it for me this month. Once again, thank you, John, for allowing us to participate in these fun monthly previews episodes. I look forward to hearing everyone's recommendations. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and I will see you on the Slack channel.
This is Nick with another pick from the Marvel Special Previews catalog. And let's see, this looks like it should be from page 104. There's no page number in this part of the catalog, but it is Doctor Strange Epic Collection, Volume 4 in that series. You know, they jump around sometimes, not necessarily in chronological order that they publish. The title for this collection is Alone Against Eternity. And I've picked up a lot of, random issues of Doctor Strange over the years. And what I really appreciate about his series is all of the, what I would term probably some of the greatest artists that, were around during the Bronze Age, all had little stints on the series and seemed to enjoy drawing these far-out, trippy-type scenes and, fighting these impossible monsters or, venturing to various dimensions and things. And so I like to pick up these epic collections for sure if they're in the right era, and for Doctor Strange, this is definitely one of those. We've got writers Steve Englehart, Marv Wolfman, Jim Starlin, and P. Craig Russell, Roger Stern, pencils by Gene Colan and P. Craig Russell, with Alfred Alcala, Rudy Nevers, Jim Starlin, Al Milgram, and Tom Sutton, and a nice cover here by Gene Colan. So again, some of the big hitters of the era. And this specifically collects Doctor Strange of the 1974-ish series, issues 6 through 28, and Doctor Strange Annual, issue number 1, and Tomb of Dracula, number 44. This is going to be a 488-page collection for $40, as the Epic Collections are. And, just skimming there, what's in the solicitation text here. The first sentence or two, it says, Steve Englehart, Gene Colan set for you a series of unmatched Doctor Strange classics. We've got Dormammu and Umar attacking Eternity, declaring the end times are here. Stephen Strange must confront himself. And of course, we've got a Dracula Tale crossover in there and some the annual issue drawn and written by P. Craig Russell. So check it out. This coming... Let's see, does it say when this is going to be released? I do not see a release date. I guess right now they're still kind of trying to just play some of that a little loose in case there's any delays. But probably should be out, I'd imagine, by probably February or March on this particular schedule. But maybe out there a little bit sooner.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am into the premier publishers now in the previews book. I am all the way at Boom on page 174. Something I haven't noticed on the Book of Seven Secrets. A one of something, or of 10, or of 12. We are on book number 6, Tom Taylor's book, illustrated by Danielle Di Nicorolo. Something like that. I'm sure I'm close. Jen Bartel does a variant. And then there's a couple of other variants on there. January 13th, 399, 32 pages. I like Seven Secrets. I think I've read up to four or five, or probably about four right now, or three. Really good book. Really enjoying it. Tom Taylor is one of the best writers out there right now. So this one says, to save the Order and everyone he loves, Casper must leave them all behind. But even with his sacrifice, will Amon get his hands on the secrets once and for all? Dun, dun, dun. Like I said, very good book. Art is awesome. Tom Taylor is the best writer out there right now, if you ask me. It's pretty cool that you don't see a one of, because a lot of these books end at number 6. And if you scroll back, you can see 2 of 4, 4 of 12, 6 of 6. There's none of that for this. So that's pretty neat. That means it's selling well, and he's got a lot more story to tell. So pick up this book, get on the train, man. All right, on to the next one.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick in this month's previews is in the back half on page 188 from Abstract Studios with Serial, number one. That's Serial spelled S-E-R-I-A-L, as in serial killer. Written, drawn, and cover art by Terry Moore. Zoe has been 10 years old for 50 years. Most of her life has been spent on the run fighting the demon that lived within her, kept her young, and turned her into a serial killer. Now free of the demon, Zoe discovers her childhood friend is the latest victim in a string of murders. Determined to put an end to the reign of terror, Zoe uses her own deadly skills to stalk the predator and avenge her fallen friend. Serial is Terry Moore's new series featuring Zoe, the irrepressible star of Rachel Rising and 5 Years. Don't miss the premiere issue of her own solo series. End shops January 13th, 2021 for $3.99. When I first read this solicit, I couldn't help but think of Liam Neeson's line from his Taken movies and say, in other words, Zoe has a unique set of skills to put an end to the string of mass murders. Terry Moore returns to a horror-style series that he began with Rachel Rising. And while she can be a very frightening character, there is a lot of dark, dark humor with Zoe. So I know that when I receive this issue in a future shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, it's going to be at the bottom of my paw, which I reserve for the comic book that I'll be looking forward to reading the most that month. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. As I record this, we're just a few days away from voting, so I hope all of you go out to vote. And as we go into this winter and flu season, I hope all of you stay safe and healthy as we continue to deal with this pandemic.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the back half. Aftershock, they started off strong, and then they lost some of their big name writers and creators. They still have some that look really good. Actually, there's one that's called I Breathe the Body by Zach Thompson that I'm looking at, but there's another one that I want to shout out, and I specifically wanted to shout it out to John Mayo. John and I were both Eagle Scouts as we grew up. And this one on page 192 by David Pepoz and Lucas Casalaguida, I'm butchering the name, is called Scout's Honor. And it's starting off number one. And this one, it kind of like the subject matter caught my eye. The art looked decent enough. But I like the premise, and I thought John and I might like it because we're both current Eagle Scouts. Years after a nuclear apocalypse, a new society has risen from the ashes, and their Bible is an old scout ranger scout manual. So it's a scout manual. A young ranger scout named Kit has endured the harsh survivalist upbringing needed to conquer the irradiated Colorado Badlands, but after discovering a terrible secret once lost to history, Kit must risk everything on a dangerous quest to uncover the truth behind the Ranger Scouts doctrine. What's funny is, I don't know, post-apocalyptic Boy Scout type stuff. They don't just say Scouts, because Scouts, you know, obviously trademark, so they're Ranger Scouts. But I think this could be a fun read. I like post-apocalyptic stuff, even though I hope the future is not apocalyptic. And like I said, finding a Scout manual, who knows, they may bring up some nostalgia for me as I read that stuff. So on to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with a pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wrong Earth, Night and Day, number one, from Ahoy Comics. My favorite Ahoy series is back. Man, I've missed The Wrong Earth. When this title came on my radar when Ahoy launched back in 2018, I felt this was like a refreshing title that was this interesting mix of kind of parody and superheroics with a slight hint of darkness and a bit of a twist to it, featuring two kind of Batman-esque archetype characters in Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man. Now, if you are not familiar with The Wrong Earth, it is essentially it's set on two parallel Earths, which inhabit the superhero, one called Dragonfly Man, one called Dragonfly. Dragonfly Man exists on an Earth that is essentially akin to the 1960s era of the Batman TV series. And Dragonfly lives on some sort of Frank Miller, Dark Knight, 1980s, grim, gritty Batman Earth. And there, through, you know, interdimensional hijinks, the two characters switch Earths, and hilarity, tragedy ensue. And that is a summation of the first Wrong Earth series. Now, prior to the launch of this continuation of the Wrong Earth, there was a miniseries entitled Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man, which was a prequel to the Wrong Earth that kind of gives you a taste of what their lives were prior to the events of the first The Wrong Earth series. Now, fast forward to 2021, we get The Wrong Earth Night and Day, in which these two characters meet finally, and who knows what's going to happen. Thankfully, this series is being written by Tom Pyre and drawn by Jamal Igel. This was the creative team for the first The Wrong Earth series. Tom Pyre wrote the Dragonfly Man series. Quite frankly, if you are looking for superheroic titles that's not necessarily continuity heavy, something that you can pick up on easily, and like you're talking 10 issues max to kind of get you up to speed on what is going on. And truly, you only really need to read the first The Wrong Earth series to kind of understand what is happening. I cannot recommend this series enough. Again, I've been really looking forward to it. I'm glad that it's finally coming out in January 2021. I know Jamal Igel has been working on this for a long time. When I went to Baltimore Comic Con in 2019, there was an Ahoy panel. Jamal Igel and Tom Pyre were there, and they were both talking about their excitement about getting to work on this series. So I'm glad to see the fruits of their labor finally pay off. The Wrong Earth, Night and Day, number one, costs $3.99 and can be found on page 202 of the Diamond Previews catalog.
All right, this is James, and I'm back with my final pick. And this time I'm in the AWA section. AWA has really been the best publisher of 2020 for a new upstart indie publisher. They've just, everything they've put out has been really good, really decent. Now, my favorite title from AWA and the one that John and I reviewed just before the pandemic, our last shipment of comics, and then we continued to review it when we were reviewing comics, and we really did enjoy it, was The Resistance. Well, here in January 2021, we have The Resistance Reborns. So apparently this is like the next chapter, the next volume of the series. And that made me really happy because the way The Resistance ended, it was fine, but I wanted more of it because it was literally their best book. The writer on this is J. Michael Straczynski, illustrated by C.P. Smith. I don't know what C.P. stands for. The Resistance, just so you know, there was a global pandemic. That's kind of nuts that that happened, and they shipped it. I think we got our packages like March, the middle of March, that last shipment from Cowabunga and the last shipment of comics that went out to comic shops right before everything got shut down. Oh, I do not miss that. But and lo and behold, they were talking about a pandemic, writing about a pandemic, and then we are going through a pandemic, so it hit home. It was really kind of stomach churning. But this pandemic, it killed off millions of people all over the planet. But there was also a portion of the population that did not die, and they developed superpowers. So it's about these people that have superpowers and how that plays out, what caused it, what controls stuff. Anyways, I'm not going to spoil it. It is an excellent read. I think everyone should read it. Now, this one, the second volume, I'm assuming, it says stemming from the pages of the hit series, The Resistance. The Resistance Reborns explores the origins of the newly superpowered humans after a global disaster leaves hundreds of millions dead in the wake, causing a few thousand to suddenly manifest superhuman powers. This special collection explores the origins of the five characters in the new universe of heroes and villains, including the Mad, the Dangerous, the Hidden, the Lost, and the Transcendent. Now, this is not a collection of the first volume. This is a brand new thing. It's $3.99, 32 pages, coming out January 6th. And this better not be a portent of things to come. Or otherwise, I'm going to say The Resistance is cursed, and I will hate this book and the creator. But I think it'll be a good book, and I think everyone should jump on and give it a chance. And they are they had solicited the trade. You can still pick it up. Reach out to Eric. He'll sell it to you for a good deal, I'm sure. A nice discount. And I'm looking forward to everyone else's picks. John, thanks for hosting this. Thanks for editing it. I know it takes a lot of time. It's a lot of work. But I always like listening to the preview spotlight. So until next month, guys, I bid you adieu.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am in the back of the book now, page 237. We are looking at Del Rey, Star Wars The High Republic. Wait a minute. Did we just talk about that in Marvel? What is going on here? Well, Charlie Saul is the writer of this. It says, the lead book in an exciting cross-publishing event written by fan favorite Marvel Comics writer Charlie Saul, exploring a new era of Star Wars storytelling never before seen in any... Where I lost my spot, I'm sorry. Never seen before in any medium, The High Republic. 200 years before the events of Star Wars The Phantom Menace, in an era of the glorious High Republic, the noble and wise Jedi Knights must face a frightening threat to themselves, the galaxy, and the Force itself. The Republic's golden age is disrupted by a catastrophic hyperspace disaster. The heroes of the Jedi Order meet in the crisis head-on, but soon discover that the danger is far from over. A sinister force threatens the galaxy as they are sworn to defend. I don't know what a prose book is. I know this book is $28.99. Get your discounts where you can. It's a hardcover, 336 pages. Did not see this before when I scrolled through this, and I saw it now, and I will be ordering it to keep up, you know, the Star Wars lore. But which came first? Which one is going to be the book sought after? The floppies, of course. But this is weird. Why do they have two books coming out at the same time with two different publishers? Like, something fishy's going on, but I'm going to get them both, and I'll let you know. I mean, you guys can get them both, and you can all meet up and talk about it on the Slack channel. All right, on to the next one. All right, X-Men Patrick here. Next page over. Star Wars The High Republic. written by Disney Lucasfilms Press. That is a third one. Something fishy's going on here. All right, let me read this one because I have not read this one yet either. Test of Courage, hardcover, Justin Ireland, Peter Antonsen is the artist. Long before the Clone Wars, the Empire, or the First Order, the Jedi... Wait a minute. Long before the Clone Wars, the Empire, or the First Order, the Jedi lit the way for the galaxies in a golden age known as the High Republic. Ernestra Raw has just become the Jedi Knight at age 15, but her first real assignment feels an awful lot like babysitting. She's been charged with supervising 11-year-old aspiring inventor Avon Starros on a cruiser headed to a dedication of the wondrous new space station called Starlight Beacon. Didn't we just read that on the other one? Let's see. But soon, bombs go off abroad and the cruiser... Whew, man, it's too late. I'm sorry, guys. So... But soon, bombs go off abroad the cruiser. While the adult Jedi tries to save the ship, Vernestra, Avon, Avon's droid, J6, and an ambassador's son make it to the escape shuttle. But communications are out and the supplies are low. $14.99, cheaper, less pages, $256. Hardcover again. This is the third Star Wars High Republic. Something is happening, guys. I don't know why there's so many Star Wars High Republics, but I'll be getting that one too. All right, on to the next one.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog. Coming to you from page 248. This is back in the Fantagraphics section. And I'm highlighting Munsters, a hardcover comic book by Barry Windsor Smith, who admittedly, I haven't read a lot of his material that he published back in the 70s and 80s and 90s through Marvel and then Valiant and others. But what little bits I have caught over time and drawings that I've come across of his, I'm always impressed by the amount of inking that he has. You could definitely tell, like, that's where he adds a lot of character to his drawings. This is going to be in black and white, $39.99 at an 8-inch by 11-inch format, so like your standard printer size paper. And reading a little blurb from his particular website entry when this was put out several years ago that he was working on this project, here's how it was described then. And then I'll read to you just a little blurb, kind of a modified previews text that was given in a recent interview of his. His website describes Munsters as a failed genetics project from 1944 Germany invades the lives of two American families in the 1950s and 1960s. And then in the interview, which was conducted on a website called Broken Frontier, back in May, here's how the project was described. Munsters is the legendary project Windsor Smith has been working on for over 35 years. A 360-page tour de force of visual storytelling, Munsters' vast narrative canvas is part familial drama, part espionage thriller, part metaphysical journey, in sum, an intimate portrait of individuals and an epic political odyssey spanning two generations of American history. Trauma, fate, conscience, and redemption are a few of the themes that intersect in Windsor Smith's Munsters. And you can see some preview images there. If you search for Barry Windsor Smith Munsters, you're going to find that on this particular website or some others. So check it out if you are a fan of his work from any point in time, or if you are a fan of the black and white, kind of scratchy inkwork type comics, like, say, Bernie Wrightson, or, you know, some of those guys, Michael Kaluta. They were all in a little artist group back in the day, and so their work is pretty similar, and definitely, I would say, kind of equal weights, artistic, and then philosophical. There's always these elements of, you know, things that are more than you can interpret, or whatever that they kind of add in there. So I'm assuming, especially considering this is being put out by Fantagraphics, that it'll be kind of artsy as far as that's concerned. But I'm definitely checking this out for the Barry Windsor Smith art and to see what he's been working on for 35 years. This is Nick with another pick for the main previews catalog on page 270 in the magnetic press section. I'm looking at Aster of Pan, a hardcover comic book by Merwin. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correct. Merwan, written and illustrated by them. It's described as The Hunger Games meets Dodgeball. And it also says that this was an official selection of the Angoulême International Comics Festival of 2020. So comes definitely at least as a recognized property from Europe. And I always appreciate that the Magnetic Press pulls in some of these popular either ongoing series or original graphic novels from over in the European sphere of comics and brings them over to the U.S. They got a good eye for interesting and unique types of stories. And looking at the preview art with this, it definitely is exactly what's described there. We've got some kind of a, looks like post-apocalyptic or futuristic society here where these teenagers are duking it out with what looks to be some high-stakes dodgeball going on. And I think there's going to be a few laughs in there. So check it out. It's going to be $29.99 for a 200-page hardcover. And the Magnetic Press folks put a lot of work into making high-quality books. So it's definitely going to be worth the cost. And I think the story should be interesting. And I do see here, actually, before I let you guys go, that there's a tag that says YA. This book is intended for readers aged 14 and up. It may contain themes considered as, quote, young adult. So be sure to check that out, or if you know some kids in your family that are into comics, I think they'll probably enjoy this one. This is Nick with my next pick from the previews catalog. At page 291, it's Silver Age Classics, Ghost Stories, Softy, Volume 1, and that's the name for the soft cover collections from PS Art Books. I've pre-ordered one or two of these in the last couple of months and still waiting on those to be delivered. But from what I can tell, what I've seen of different PS Art Books over time, it looks like they pretty much grab your public domain comics that are floating around out there, package them up nicely, do some curating of what stories they think modern audiences will appreciate from back, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And in this particular collection, it's the first five issues of the Dell Comics Ghost Stories series. And if you want to get a sense for, or even just read all of these issues, to be honest, you can go online and read these at comicbookplus.com, a site that collects a lot of public domain comics and lets you read through those for free. So also, I just recommend going on there, setting up an account, and reading a lot of these great stories. But some of these first five issues have some really great art, some pretty much what you would expect from a lot of these horror anthologies, you know, quick 5-10-page stories with a little quick twist and, you know, some horrible outcome. And highlighted in the solicitation text for this, according to the website awakeatmidnight.com, issue number one of this series features one of the top 20 scariest horror stories from Precode Comics, and that is The Door. So check that one out. I think the rest of these are going to be great. It's only $24.99 for 184 pages. So, pretty good deal. Again, you can find these online, but PS Art Books is going to do a great job finding these for you and putting a nice little collection on your shelf. So, check it out. Should be released somewhere in the next few months. This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog on page 305. And I'm intrigued by this hardcover collection from Titan Comics. There is some preview art here and a nice looking cover that grabbed my attention flipping through this month. It is Knights of Heliopolis, a hardcover comic, 232 pages for $24.99. coming out on April 14th of next year. And it's described as, let's see here, based on the greatest myth in French history from avant-garde writer Alejandro Jodorowsky. And the art is by, I'm assuming you would pronounce this, Jeremy. So again, this is a transport comic here by Statix Press, coming from Europe for American audiences. And so that means that you can find some of this art out there if you want to get a closer look and really zoom in and the kind of fantastical detail that they have used on this story. But it's a supernatural spin on the Man in the Iron Mask, featuring iconic historical figures like King Louis the 16th and Marie Antoinette. And I don't know if looking at the preview art, you would be able to tell that that's the story of the Man in the Iron Mask, but it really looks great. And I trust the Statix Press imprint over there at Titan to bring some great European comics as well. So check that out this next March. This is Nick with another pick from the Titan Comics section of the main previews catalog, this time from page 309, just highlighting Sunday's Fun Day, Charlie Brown. Creator, of course, is Charles M. Schulz. This is a, it's not really specifically advertised like this, but I believe these are kind of small digest formatted books that collect a little section of the Peanuts cartoons. And also advertised here as offered again are several other collections. So check those out if you're interested in that kind of format. Very easy to read through a selection of Peanuts cartoons from a certain era. And in this case, it's 128 pages. Again, kind of a smaller format book. At $6.99, this comes out April 7th of next year. And in this case, this is described as, in one enlightening strip, Linus tries his hand at becoming an author. In another, we get to witness the birth of the skateboarding craze. Contains some of the most charming and iconic adventures from the Peanuts gang. So, again, these are just a nice collection of Charlie Brown comics from the Peanuts strip. And if you're interested, there is also You're Out of Your Mind, Charlie Brown. We Love You, Charlie Brown, collecting comics for art strips from 1957 to 1959, and Go Fly a Kite, Charlie Brown, from 59 through 60. And just wanted to highlight these this month, because people don't really even see these collections a lot of time, and it's great that Titan is going back and reprinting these previous collections, which in some cases were issued about 30 or 40 years ago. So check it out if you're a Peanuts fan.
X-Men Patrick here, and I'm way back at the book now, and I'm actually down in page 310, looking at Titan, and yes, Star Wars Insider number 200. Guess what it has? Writer Charles Soule discussed Star Wars High Republic. There's something fishy going on, and that means I gotta buy another book, and this is like a magazine. Full color, 100 pages, $9.99, on sale January 26th. Disney and Lucasfilm's on it, there's no cover. Exclusive cover by fan artist Peach Momoko. And there is a newsstand cover. Celebrate 200 years of Star Wars Insider. 200 issues of Star Wars Insider. Did not know this existed. Not the hugest Star Wars fan. But all this High Republic stuff, I'm going to pick this up. I have a feeling something's going to happen. Something is fishy that there's four High Republics out. Join me. Grab this stuff. Let's discuss. I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I didn't read all the books. Just watched the movies, man. That's all I did. But these comic books got me going. Pick it up. Read it with me and see what's going on. All right, on to the next one. Actually, this is my last one. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone that puts this all together. I know John's the only guy, but I'm saying, like, thanks to James doing all the podcasts with him and helping him out. You guys rock. Thank you, everybody that contributes. I can't tell you how easy this is. It's just sit in front of my desk, record, and read about the stuff that I love and share it with you guys. And hopefully you guys pick it up and we can all share about it. Get on that Slack channel. It's really easy to get on. We all go on there and we talk about comic books. We talk about other things. We kind of stay away from politics as much as we can because it's just ugly out there. Let's get back into the world of comics. Comics are for everyone. Everyone loves comics. Let's just read, man. Let's read some comic books. So, thank you. On to the next pick. If there is another one, I'm on the, like, pretty close to the back end. You guys have a good one. Enjoy your turkey day. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
This is Nick with a pick from the Tomorrow's Publishing section of the main previews catalog. And actually, I'll just go ahead and highlight both of these. These are on page 312. It's Old Gods and New, the Jack Kirby Collector, number 80. And it says, for its 80th issue, the Jack Kirby Collector magazine presents double-sized 50th anniversary examination of Kirby's magnum opus. Spanning the pages of four different comics starting in 1970, the sprawling epic of our times was cut short midstream, leaving fans wondering how Jack would have resolved the confrontation between evil Dark Side of Apocalypse and his son Orion of New Genesis. This companion to that Fourth World series looks back at Jack Kirby's own words, as well as those of assistants Mark Evanier and Steve Sherman, inker Mike Royer, and publisher Carmine Infantino, to determine how it came about, where it was going, and how Kirby would have ended it before it was prematurely canceled by DC Comics. It also examines Kirby's use of gods in Thor and other strips prior to the Fourth World, how they influenced his DC epic and affected later series like The Eternals and Captain Victory. And that's going to be a $26.95 magazine. And also on the same page, just wanted to highlight, in reference to my earlier pick of Munsters by Barry Windsor Smith, this month in their comic book creator magazine, Tomorrow's is highlighting Barry Windsor Smith and some of his career and taking a look at what he's doing with Munsters. It says they conduct an in-depth discussion with the legendary comic book artist and illustrator about his mammoth new graphic novel, and they delve into the epic's origin as an Incredible Hulk one-shot back in the 1980s and its subsequent evolution into perhaps Black and White's magnum opus. So they're really singing some praises for that book also, and I think it'll be interesting to take a look at some of the behind-the-scenes aspect of that. As I mentioned, it was a 35-year in-the-making work, and this is an 84-page magazine at $9.95. And definitely always worth reading whatever Tomorrow's has out there if it interests you. And in this case, both those issues tickle my fancy this month, so I'll be checking both of those out.
What's up, guys? This is Patrick. I am back at the Jersey Shore. So when I was on my little trip to Kentucky, I downloaded a podcast so I could listen to my 10-hour drive, and it's called The Leviathan Chronicles, Leviathan Audio Productions. I'll read you the quick description and then I'll go from there. The Leviathan Chronicles is a full cast audio drama about a race of immortals that have been secretly living in a hidden city called Leviathan, deep under the Pacific Ocean. For centuries, a utopian society has existed in peace, gently influencing the world events on the surface. But soon, a civil war erupts between the immortals that wish to stay hidden and those that want to integrate fully with the rest of mankind on the surface. A clandestine division of the CIA known as the Black Door discovers immortals' existence and seeks to eliminate the perceived threat that they represent to U.S. sovereignty. Soon, a three-way war erupts across the globe as each faction fights for supremacy, leaving the fate of the world hanging in the balance. The Leviathan Chronicles is an ultimate science fiction fantasy audio drama podcast utilizing over 60 actors with professional sound effects and original soundtrack in every episode. That is what you get from their little webpage here. I can't find any info on the creator on this app, but so far I've listened to, 27 episodes. They're about 30 minutes each, and then the guy at the end gives you more episodes you can listen to. Like, I found a Star Wars one on there I haven't listened to yet, but I found a Star Wars podcast. So this one's about a girl that's a spitting image of the original immortal, and she is the key, and everyone's trying to fight and get to her. So the Black Door is like the CIA, and they're fighting each other and fighting against the immortals. Then you have this girl and a fisherman running around with the immortals 30,000 feet underwater in the trench, the biggest trench that we ever found in the world, Mariano Trench or something like that. And then you have another one with the people who left Leviathan. So these people went back out in the world, have millions of dollars, and they're immortal also. But when people say immortal, I don't think what they think immortal is. So immortal to them is just someone that doesn't age. Immortal to me is someone who can't get hurt. These people can die from gunshot wounds, knife stabs. You know, they may not be able to die from cancers and diseases, but they can die from physical harm. So that, to me, that's not immortal, but I understand what he's getting at. The stories are really cool. Lots of sound effects. Very good podcast. I really recommend it if you guys have a lot of downtime, because like I said, this has been, I'm on episode 23, I think, and I'm trying to figure out how many there is right now. There's 23 out of, he doesn't put numbers on them. There's a lot. I still have a ton more to go. He put another one up recently, 5 days ago from my recording. Definitely check it out if you guys like that kind of stuff. It's kind of sci-fi. Definitely interesting. Worth the listen. I bet you guys are going to get sucked in like I'm sucked in. All right, on to the next one.
I want to thank everybody who sent in clips. So thank you, Billy, Chris, James, Mo, Nicholas, and Patrick. Again, we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. This is how the clips get picked. You guys say, hey, this looks interesting. I'll record a clip. You send it in. I play it. It's that easy. If you have any questions on how to record a clip or whatever, reach out either on the Slack channel, the forum, or by email, and we'll help you out. It's not hard to do. Everybody, for the most part, has a smartphone these days. You can record the clip on that and send it in just by sharing, you know, the thing that way. It's, like I said, it's really easy. Again, great turnout. We had about 2 hours worth of clips, which I think is awesome. I'm still in the process of trying to figure out what my order is going to look like. At this point, it's looking like about 25 items from DC, since I'm pretty much all in, or I am all in, on Future State. 24 from Marvel, about 5 from Image, 1 from Dark Horse, 4 from IDW, nothing from Dynamite these days, 3 from Boom, and only about 5 items from the back half. I am going to get that Scout's Honor thing. James, thanks for pointing that out. I had missed it, so I wouldn't have gotten it otherwise. And we'll see what happens with next month's previews. We'll be getting more Future State from DC. Not sure what's going to be offered by everybody else. But please, send in clips. That next previews is going to come out on Wednesday, November 25th, which is right before Thanksgiving. And then the deadline for the next preview spotlight will be Saturday morning, December 5th, as soon as I get up to start editing it and such. If you can send in clips early, that's a huge help. Pretty much everybody did that this time, so I only had one person's clips to go through this morning on that Saturday of the deadline and such. Having the clips early and just knowing what's coming in by people posting on the previews spotlight thread on the forum is a huge help. That way I don't miss anything, and I know how much time to be allocating to editing the episode and such. These episodes are a lot of fun to listen to. It's a great way for me to find out about new comics. Hopefully it's the same for you guys. And again, we've got an open submission policy on these episodes. Please join in. I'd love to hear from a lot more people just to get a lot more diverse opinions and viewpoints and tastes in comics and such. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.